I'm just gonna jump in here and say that it's just three episodes, and it's very, you can binge it and everything,
Don't. It's
and
3 hours of your life wasted. You can do better than this.
Hey all, you are listening to Pop Sanskriti. This is a brand new episode of it, and we are catching you up with what's happening in the world of pop culture. Today, joining with us is a fresh voice. Viraj, say hello.
Hi, guys.
Yeah. And apart from that, joining with us is Devina.
Hi, everyone.
And Debayan, our resident devil's advocate.
Since when?
And I'm your otaku host, Papri. So, we had a lot of things going on with elections and stuff, and now we finally found some time, we journos, to watch and catch up with all that was pending. We have a lot to talk about, but before we deep dive into it, Devayan, you want to catch us up with what's happening in the world of, you know, what's the news?
Okay, so like in pop culture, in another round of pop culture news, there's actually a lot going on, especially with E3. That's like Tomorrowland for gamers, or like Woodstock for gamers, let's put it that way. And yeah, there's a lot of games have been announced. You have Cyberpunk 2077, where you have Keanu Reeves going on, featuring in it. You have Ghost Recon, where you have Jon Bernthal, who you better know as the Punisher, in it. Yeah. And the Marvel's Avengers game is finally out, and it has garnered some mixed reactions. So there is that. For anime fans, Dragon Ball Z is coming up with another movie. Okay, the movie has been confirmed, no details yet. What else? Disney Plus is kind of shaping up, and they have released a teaser for the new Loki show that's about to come for Disney Plus. And in another news, like the Wonder Woman 1984 poster is a teaser poster is out.
Oh god, that's a very long list of things to catch up on. Okay, so we will deep dive to start with on the Hindi version of The Office. So what are your thoughts on that? So just to get people, initiated with it, Office was actually a British mockumentary, and it was in 2001. And it was later adapted, Americanized, adapted into a 9-season-long series. And it has a cult following, people go crazy on it, lots of GIFs and memes on internet. And there's going to be a Hindi version of it, a Desi version, guys.
Ready? I'm Jagdeep Chadda. Naam se zahir hai, main Punjabi hoon. Or should we say Punjabi. Wilkins Chawla में मुझे टू डेट 15 साल हुआ. ये मेरा जंगल है और मैं यहाँ का शेर. मेरा ना employees के साथ गजब का कनेक्शन. सब कहते हैं सर यू आर माइंड ब्लोइंग, यू आर ब्लोन अस सर.
देविना, you have seen the trailer, right? You want to talk about that?
Sure. So yeah, like you said, it's a cult show. Fans are pretty obsessive, I included. I mean, we're pretty possessive about the show and the, you know, purity that it maintains. But again, it was a remake of a British show, so it has been done before. I saw the trailer and I actually found it quite funny. It's a very short trailer. I think it's just about a minute and a half, so you don't really delve into it. You just really look at Michael Scott's character, really. And
Ooh,
a bit
who's
of
playing
Dwight.
That?
The actor's name is something Chadda, and that's okay. The name of his character as well. It seems funny, it's interesting, and
but the loyalists, so from what the Twitter chatter that I gathered is that they're saying, you know, they're gonna ruin it, you should not touch it, it's a holy thing, don't do it, it's sacred.
I think as far as like Hindi remakes go, we all know how they usually turn out. Case in point, The Italian Job and Players. That's usually the worst.
But here's my question to the loyalists. I know you guys like love the show a lot, but don't you think a larger audience have the right to get into that sort of humor? It's a very mockumentary has this awkward humor thing. So don't we deserve that? Yeah.
So I think, I mean, again, I'm kind of mixed here because I don't appreciate a lot of remakes, and you feel that they ruin the essence and they don't get it and things like that. But again, I think this has the potential to reach to such a wider audience beyond the English-speaking crowd. And it's just it's a good thing to happen. Ultimately, it's good if more people follow the show because it's a funny show. It's such a good show. So it's interesting if more people get into it.
Yeah, Viraj has a point of view on this.
And The Office is not the only show of its kind. I mean, there is Parks and Rec, which is also a cult favorite. Yeah. And all of them borrow from this incredible show called Arrested Development, which is the holy grail, honestly. So coming to India, I'm kind of optimistic about this remake because even if it's not as good as the American one or the
British one, it's a start.
Yes, it's
what is India's holy grail?
Exactly. Hey, this can be a new one. This can and give it. Let's give
but
it a chance.
And also, do
I think.
Not look down upon Kyunki Saas Bhi Kabhi Bahu Thi.
How dare you?
In terms of cult following, it has a lot of that.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying the holy grail. But like, so my only point when it comes to remakes is that you either stick to the point, like, you know, make a proper copy, like a Xerox copy, and just change the language, or you take inspiration from it and you make the remake. Okay, because do not do anything somewhere in between these two, because you're going to end up doing a very bad job.
In fact, my opinion here would be not to even do, like, it really has to be just an inspiration for that matter, because if you do, the context matters, you know, the jokes won't make sense here. You have to put it in a desi context and it's otherwise will not work.
Yeah, so, the harsh binaries presented.
Yeah, so hence you take cues from something and then you make your own version of it. Okay, don't try to struggle, like, you know, don't swing like a pendulum on either side from between like a Xerox copy and like a
That's a very specific example. Have you like seen some adaptations like that?
Way too desi many, I think.
Okay. All right. And if Game of Thrones ending has left like a gaping hole in your heart, you probably have sort of popped on to the Chernobyl bandwagon.
All of the good we did, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that to them, justice was done. See, a just world is a sane world. There was nothing sane about Chernobyl.
I want to know from Divine, give us a little bit about what's Chernobyl all about, and should we, is the hype real? Like, there's so much going on.
Let's say that the hype is definitely real. I mean, Game of Thrones or not, that show in itself is a very good show, and it's by far, like, you know, in at least in 2019, this in all the shows that have come out in 2019, and this is by this will definitely be on my top three so far. And the fact that Game of Thrones was such a bummer has actually added to the whole fact. And let's face, like, I watched it
just to get our readers, listeners on board here. So basically, Chernobyl is HBO's latest mini series on the nuclear disaster which happened in 1986, right? And so is it about the actual disaster, or is it a lot more than that?
So the thing is, that is what now, if you look at it on the outside, Chernobyl itself is one of the, if not the biggest man-made disaster in history so far. And like, this show is actually about the politics surrounding the incident and not particularly about the incident. Because, okay, fair warning, spoilers ahead. Because
here it comes.
Sadly disappointing everybody out here, the show pretty much gets everything nuclear wrong.
Oh, shit.
When it comes to the physics and the nuclear physics of the whole situation of all of Chernobyl, they get it completely wrong. Because, like, case in point, the whole show is about finding out how the disaster happened. And in the show, it shows
the
that
the human aspect of it.
Not the human aspect of it. It's about basically finding out, like, the whole show basically progresses around the a team of scientists, not a very small team of scientists and politicians, trying to find out what exactly went wrong, which led to
Chernobyl,
the explosion and the meltdown, right? And in the show, it shows like around, I think, 6 months to a year have passed before they actually find out. However, in truth, the reason was found out 36 hours after the incident.
Oh, that's a huge and difference.
It's
oh,
a huge yeah. difference. And there, and like, I actually have a long list. If you can, you guys can actually go online and there are a lot of articles which speak about how they've got the whole show factually wrong.
Okay.
But the thing is,
I don't think the showmakers were even trying to get it, but stick to the facts.
So that
there.
Is the thing. Like, the show was never about the incident. The show was about how a group of people, because of their own self-interest and the state's interest, tried to cover up this incident. And all the lengths that these people had to go through to cover it up. And this is what the show is about. The show is actually about the politics, and that is what makes the show so great.
Aside here, so I've been seeing this meme a lot. So apparently there is this part, and I'm saying apparently because I have not seen it. So there's this extra character that was there in the last episode of Game of Thrones, which also reappears in the in Chernobyl. Is that correct?
So I can't confirm it, neither deny it, because I did. Yeah, honestly, because the thing is, I was too engrossed in the show to look at the minute details of it. Because the thing
that's
is
that's a good thing.
Yeah, I was it's a lot of things happening, and for me, because I come from a science background and I do understand the basics of nuclear physics, so a lot
he's
of,
a nerd as well,
so
basically.
That's where a lot of the criticism could be stemming from, is the factual part of it. But I think what I was hearing from the reactions was that, I mean, the human side of it was highlighted, which again has been ignored a lot in, you know, we haven't really heard of a disaster like this, and it's been highlighting those heroes and the people, you know, who actually brave that.
Also, a lot of people are actually going back, and so I was reading this article where people have been researching on this so much now. There's so much chatter around it that people are going back
to the site.
And actually today there was a news out where people, the showmakers are saying that, you know, let's just give respect to those people. Don't just treat that site as a tourist spot.
Yeah, there were a lot of like Instagram posts, and a lot of it apparently disrespecting the site, or, you know, because
it's
people are
like
flocking to it. Yeah,
I mean, this that is again besides.
It's not a shoot location. It's an actual tragedy, people.
Yeah. It is an actual tragedy, but when has that ever stopped humans from sensationalizing it to a certain extent? But again, I would definitely say that this show does not sensationalize the whole aspect in any way. Instead, it just divides the incident into two parts. One being the human factor of it, and the other being the political factor of it. Like, on one side, you have the people suffering, and it shows very well how the people are suffering. Okay, besides all the factual errors that they do, even in the human side of it, they make a lot of factual errors, because, again, spoilers ahead. Radioactive poisoning is not contagious.
Right.
And it's especially not contagious by touch.
Okay.
Yeah, so there. Yeah. I mean, you guys, once you watch it, you'll understand.
But that should not hold you back from watching the show.
No, don't.
You can enjoy it
again,
beyond that.
Like, the thing is, when you're watching the show, you will inevitably look past the factual errors of it.
This is Devayan telling us that you can look past the plot holes. It's not exactly a plot hole, but that
it's
the
not
holes. Some holes are there, but you can look
it's
past
so
it.
It's so engrossing that you will ignore
honestly,
the science
like,
of it.
After
maybe,
I had time to think about it, like once after I was done with the show and I had like an hour to process the whole thing, and I realized that maybe like to an extent that the like they could have corrected a few of the factual errors, but some of the factual errors they had to probably put it in place
for the plot device,
for the show to actually take the turn it did. Otherwise, it wouldn't have shaped out the way it did, because it is genuinely a beautifully made show. Like, it's heart wrenching, it's gripping.
So, is it something that you can binge watch?
You can binge watch it, but I'd suggest don't. Like, you know, just take your time with it.
So all the episodes are out.
It's just five episodes.
And you can binge watch it if you want.
You can, but again, I would suggest, like, you know, just for somebody.
Sit on it.
I am somebody who hates binge watching. Okay, I will never go more than two episodes a day. Usually I go one, but yeah, I would still suggest, like, for an average person, just take your time and watch it. Like, process the things when they are happening, and take an hour to just actually break the whole thing down, because that actually, you know, kind of enhances the experience of watching the show. Because average person knows about Chernobyl, what has happened. Like, feel free to just go on, Google it, and be like, okay, fine. Yeah.
And just as a side note about Chernobyl, so something strange has been happening over there. Apparently, wildlife and, I mean, flora and fauna has been returning to Chernobyl.
The site. The actual site.
The actual site. Like, it's strange. I mean, people have not been able to explain why this has been happening. But yeah, please do research that as well.
Yeah, because we've actually
managed to build
the shelter now. So the radiation has, there's no more, like, the resident radiation is there. But it's not the thing has been contained. The whole nuclear factory has been contained now.
All right. So moving on from Chernobyl, it's like Debana says, it's 5 episodes. You can binge it, but he would recommend you don't and take your time and watch it. And it's a kicker. You can go ahead and do that. But the biggest buzzword from OTT world has to be Black Mirror this week. And everybody is kind of like going gaga on it.
Everywhere you look, people are hooked on the things.
Have we caught up with the fifth season? Who's seen it? Yes.
Yeah, I have.
Okay, that's a very sad response from Debayan right there.
I hate it.
I'm just going to jump in here and say that it's just 3 episodes and, you know, it's very... You can binge it and everything. And
don't.
And
it's 3 hours of your life wasted. You can do better.
And it's slightly deviates from the usual, you know, oh my God, technology is coming to get you. It's slightly more character driven. And yes, there are a lot of strong Black Mirror fans who are like, no, this is not the show that we were watching. But then there is this other side of fans who are like, hey, you know what? Let's welcome this slight little change that they have brought in. That the positive things can also happen in the world of tech.
Yeah, no, I don't fall, so I think I fall more with Devayan on this. I think, I think the fall of the show was the high expectations. It wasn't as bad as I think you think, but it's interesting.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, God.
I definitely feel there's been a marked change from the other episodes. There has been more of a focus on the human side of it rather than the tech. Which is interesting as a standalone concept, but in the history of Black Mirror, we've always seen tech being the focus and that it's being driven by these amazing, astonishing things.
Just to clarify to our listener, tech is still a big part of this.
Yeah, it is still there, but now we're looking at the human side of it and how it really impacts the people around it, and we're focusing on those stories more rather than it being tech driven. So while technology plays a big part, it's not the driving force, you know.
And let's just go to Devayan because he's like, you know, itching to tell us why exactly it's such a shit show.
Yeah, I'll probably go on like a full-on rant, but I'll try to keep it as short and crisp as
possible.
I'm
timing you, Devayan. Your time starts now.
Okay, so the thing is, Black Mirror has always been about futuristic technology, which is also here. Like, we actually use that technology or it's there in the prototype stage, and what happens when that technology becomes commercialized. Okay, right now the show, as you said, it is based on technology, and this new one is a lot more on based on humans. But previously, like the past 4 seasons and even Bandersnatch for that matter, was about technology driving humans. Like, you have technology, you have a certain something and its impact on the humans, and that is how it brings out the emotions in these people. But this time it's the reverse. So it feels like somebody just hired Ram Gopal Varma for these 3 episodes. And be like, chalo bana do.
This is Debayan's way really of saying it's a shit show for sure. But
without having to censor it.
Yeah, I think, but I agree that it is, of course, it's more human driven. And another maybe critique of it would be if it was, if it would have delved into the human side a little bit. I feel like it was straddling these worlds and it didn't really pick one. If it had delved, like in the first episode, I would have liked to it to have completely delved into the human side and seen that, okay, you know, these, if spoilers for the first episode, but it's basically about these two friends who go in a virtual space and connect there. So it would have been interesting to see, you know, that these people are, there was like fusing of sexualities. There were so many interesting things that could have come out of that. and we didn't delve into
that. You mean that they did not explore the potential of the story to the full?
Even the human side of it wasn't delved as deep as it could have if they were going that side, which it looked like they were. So it felt like a...
Yeah, the criticism I'm hearing is that it's one of those feel-good ones that they give you stuff to feel like it's one of those like happy ending stuff which you do not expect from Black Mirror. Oh, oops, spoilers.
That is the thing. Like, you are supposed to feel... an excruciating existential crisis.
At the end everybody is trying to feel existential crisis at as the
end of, at the end of every Black Mirror episode, and if you do not feel that, it's not worth watching Black Mirror. But okay,
feel dread and then watch Black Mirror.
And like, okay, coming from a very neutral point of view, like, you know, the dissing aside,
just to point it out, one of the highest rated episodes of Black Mirror is actually a very positive one. The one which ended very happily. It's, I think, season 3, episode 4 or 5. It was San Junipero. Yes. And that was the highest rated. And that was one of the happy endings.
Yeah, but it's still like... It's still tech driven. Okay. And you will still feel... it'll still get you thinking. Mm. None of the episodes... out here, like in the final season, got me thinking about anything except for the fact that Black Mirror, the producers and the showmakers, actually just tried experimenting. What was the experiment? Is to bring in tech and social issues and address it at the same time.
Wasn't like Black Mirror always doing that though?
Not exactly. They did take on social issues, but very subtly. Right now it is just in your face.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the first episode, it's basically about sexuality. Second episode, it's any idiot can say that it's about Facebook.
Okay, then. The big word drops.
You didn't get it, you're an idiot.
That's... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I do have a question about Black Mirror. Is a new season planned? Are they trying to wrap up with a good note or something like that? Or no. Are they going to...
I don't think it's a cash-making thing for Netflix. I don't think it's... And they're even coming up with another season of Love, Death and Robots, which is bad. Sort of like in a similar breath. Not tech completely always, but you know, it's an
interesting innovative kind of
actually,
series.
When it comes to... Again, see, Love, Death and Robots... is more
experimental.
It's more experimental. It's more a little more on the positive side. Black Mirror has always been on the negative side, and I still feel like it should stick to that. Okay, because otherwise it just takes the essence away from Black Mirror.
Devayan is just
Otherwise,
depressing.
When it comes to Black Mirror, they are not really going to end it anytime soon, because what Black Mirror does is they always get different directors, just a recurring cast to keep directing the episodes. So the more directors they get for the show, the better for them. And the more episodes you get.
Yeah. Also, you bought a Bandersnatch. So I think, you know, that got criticized a lot as well. Or people weren't too happy with it. But
there were two sides. So
there were two. Yeah.
Yeah. There was very binary opinion about it. Like, people either loved it or they did not.
Yeah. But I think that was still interesting because it gave you something new and it was very tech driven and it kind of got the user into, you know,
it was interactive.
It was different. It was new.
And you have all those Easter eggs that you kept trying to figure out what the endings would be and everything.
And we hadn't seen a series like that involved the viewer so deeply so that we could actually change the, you know, storyline completely. I think if they had, you know, experimented a little bit more with that and honed that could have made for an interesting season.
You never know, it might just drop in as like a special sometime. It was a special, right?
Yeah.
It was a special. So that was, again, that was Black Mirror experimenting with something which we have never seen before. So which
like
is
at least digital and sort of TV and digital audience, like show watching audience has not, gamers have.
Gamers, yes, but again, gaming is a whole different ball game altogether as of now. But when it comes to lazy binge watching on your laptop, you will just not see something like this coming, and which is something I feel like is mind blowing. It's not perfect; they have a lot of scope. Yeah. But it is still a very mind-blowing concept.
You think they were lazy with the new season is what you're saying, that they didn't go full length and they were too rushed
again,
about it?
I feel like, okay, there are two possibilities. One, that they were too rushed about it. And second, they, again, like I said, they are trying to tackle certain, you know, social issues and it has made it like too on the face. And they haven't managed to strike that balance between what Black Mirror always stands for, like the usage of technology, and on the other side, addressing a certain social issue. because previously in the previous seasons, technology has always taken the front seat, and the
here humans have like the human aspect has.
It's not the human aspect. Humans don't count at all in Black Mirror. It's the, it was the social cause.
Yeah, it's basically tech isn't as highlighted as it always was. But Deban, what do you think if you had to recommend one of these episodes out of these,
which one
you
the
hate
best?
Least? Maybe
I,
that's
I,
a better
I
question.
Think
yeah,
the only episode that I genuinely liked out of the three will be Striking Vipers X.
Yeah, that's the second one.
First one.
Yeah.
But
it was
also,
interesting,
I would
yeah.
definitely give a shout out to Miley Cyrus for doing an amazing role. Like, she actually acted really well.
All right, since we were discussing games, so basically E3, like Deban had mentioned earlier, which is basically Electro Entertainment Expo.
Let's just put it as the Woodstock or the Tomorrowland for gamers.
Okay.
Basically.
Which happened in LA, which is an annual event. It's a big thing, has happened, and Viraj and Deban have lots of updates from it. So let's go for it.
Wake the fuck up, samurai. We have a city to burn.
Right, so I'll talk about very specific things in E3, but yesterday, Breath of the Wild 2 was announced by Nintendo, and it is honestly, I mean, it will become one of the most awaited games because of the phenomenal game that was Breath of the Wild, both in terms of gameplay and just visuals, I mean. But yes, so another game super excited for is Pokemon Sword and Shield, two games.
Those are different games.
Yes, I mean, but they've always traditionally come out in pairs. I mean,
yeah.
Red and Blue, Ruby, Emerald.
Either pairs or triplets.
Those,
yes.
Yeah.
And what is striking is that the Pokemon look good this time. I mean, the last generation, I really enjoyed was when Piplup and...
Trico.
Yes, all of these were...
Hoenn, that is Hoenn.
Yes, but yeah, so they look good this time. I'm just really excited about that. The gameplay I'm not sure about, but again,
they have not released any gameplay?
I think they have, but
they have.
It's standard in Pokemon games. It's not like Pokemon Go, which is completely like a different model altogether. It's just a pretty standard Pokemon duo. And the thing I want to talk about most is Bethesda in E3, because...
you have to give us a little update, like
right,
a little brief on what that is.
Bethesda is the studio which made the really super popular games Elder Scrolls, Skyrim, and the Fallout series, and even the Doom series is Bethesda's. So basically,
so they're coming
up
with a big new game.
A lot of announcements which are quite significant. First off, the head at Bethesda, Todd Howard, who basically built the company up from scratch, one could say. He has accepted the faults of Fallout 76. Now, Fallout 76 was a game which had been released, I think it's been a couple of years now, and it was terrible after the previous Fallout, it divided opinion and all that. So they have released a bunch of updates to it. It's called Wastelanders, the new update that they've announced, in which they have introduced a battle royale sort of scenario also, borrowing from the current popularity of games like PUBG and
Fortnite.
Yes, so they went that way. I'm excited about that. I'm not sure.
I don't know why I'm not happy about that though. I feel like you're just kind of homogenizing all the games now, which are becoming very, very mainstream.
Not exactly. They're just trying to live up with the times.
Basically, and it's not the battle royale is not the only thing that they've announced in the Wastelanders update. Another exciting update from Bethesda is Ghostwire, which looks really good. I mean, it's a Tokyo-based, I think, horror thriller sort of a game.
Why do I feel like that's also going the cyberpunk way?
Oh, it's not. Like, from the trailer that has been released, it looks completely different. Also, Doom Eternal has been announced. So, yeah, that's my side Cyberpunk 2077 is what is
2077. It's no longer 2020.
Yeah.
my bad.
So, okay, from my side, I think I'll talk about the more famous ones, I think, which are the ones that not, like, I think Viraj talked about the ones which, like, proper gaming nerds are excited about, like,
yeah.
But I'll try and talk about the ones which just about anyone can be excited about.
Hello, layman ke liye kuch aa raha hai.
Sort of. I think top of the list is definitely Avengers, because that has been the most awaited one in E3, because it had been teased like a couple of years ago and there was no news about it. And people were actually getting really frustrated, and now that they've dropped the trailer and they've also announced that all updates are going to be free.
Right.
But the thing is, it has garnered some mixed reactions because of the graphics and it feels like a cheap rip-off
of the
movie. Avengers okay. movie. And so the
but
thing
what
is,
were they expecting? But like, I mean, it's gonna look the same as the most popular characters, I'm guessing.
Not, they actually don't really look so much. Not,
I saw a meme which said that they look like the
stunt doubles.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh god.
of is, the yeah. original characters. But yeah, anyway, but the thing is, what people are more concerned about is how the gameplay is going to be.
Of
so
course.
Are they going to make it like a turn-based game, or are they going to go the effect of Mass Effect? Like, you know, you have a proper action sequence where you control individual characters or a team, and you know, you control their moves and just about every move, and it's not a turn-based game. And I am hoping so myself, that's such is the case. So that's Avengers, which has been garnering a lot of mixed reactions, because we have no idea about the gameplay yet and there's no information. All we know is that like some basic information, we know the graphics.
In terms of like, as a gamer, do you find that a franchise like Marvel, which has its own story going on and everything, yeah. can actually become a potential good game? Because then you're always thinking back at the, you know, the...
Not necessarily. I mean, if you look at the Batman...
You know, storyline in some ways.
If you look at the Batman storyline, okay, the Batman has had multiple storylines, like very different storylines in the movies itself.
Hmm.
But, and again, very different storylines in the games. But the games have done really well. Even if you look at Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay, Spider-Man has also had very different storylines. But Spider-Man's
games
have been doing really well. Okay, and I think like what people are expecting is that they want the game to be like the new Spider-Man game.
Should this be for Marvel fans, or should this be actually for the gamers?
This should be for everybody.
All right. Any other updates that you're...
I think my second update is definitely going to be Dragon Ball Z Project Z Kakarot. Okay, they've come up with a new trailer. It's an open world game where you get to play as Goku and just live through his life. Not much information.
As an anime lover, I always have found this very, 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 very annoying that there are, like, it just takes you to a different world and it's not the anime and the story anymore.
But
I guess my question also about, like...
Dragon Ball Z, so far, Dragon Ball Z has always managed to stick to its original storyline with some variations on here and there. And they have always done a good job. Like, I have played, almost all the Dragon Ball Z games, which have come out on major consoles, and I have been pretty impressed with them. And
you're looking forward to this one?
I am definitely looking forward to this one, because like Dragon Ball Z games have always maintained a certain standard. They have been a little ahead of their time.
This is for Xbox?
This is coming for all of them. Xbox, okay. PS4, PC, and Nintendo Switch. So there's that. I saw the gameplay. It looks really cool. Kind of disappointed that Need for Speed did not come out. Did not come up with a new trailer for the Need for Speed 2020 this time around. But good news for football fans, because FIFA 20 trailer is out. And they
gearing
have brought
up for the World Cup, yes.
And they have brought FIFA Street back, which is something that so many people were disappointed when they took it away and never brought back. And now that they have brought it back...
They took it
some...
away from, like, which version was
so
this?
Basically, the last time FIFA Street 2 was... FIFA Street... Yeah, there was FIFA Street 2 or 3, if I'm not wrong. And that was the last console it came out on was the PS2.
Oh, God. That's been ages.
Yeah, exactly. So, that's what we are looking at. And which is why people are really excited about... FIFA Street more than just the thing. And also, like, FIFA 19 was a bit of a bummer because there was a lot of complaints of how the gameplay wasn't great, the game wasn't so great. So, again, high expectations from FIFA 20.
And it's one of those... I feel that FIFA has always been one of those games where it's like kind of, you know, kind of gateway to a lot of other games.
Yeah.
Because it's just football. Yeah, you play it anyways.
Everybody
but,
plays
yes.
FIFA. Like, let's
right.
just put it that way. Just about everybody plays FIFA. Like, even if you're not a football fan, if you're sitting with your friends, like, what do you
Or
want
even
to
if you're
play?
Not a hardcore gamer, you can just sit around. It still interests you. That's,
it's
pretty
entertaining.
Massive. Yeah. And apart from that, we were talking about Cyberpunk 2077.
The big one.
Yeah. And... It's been, the wait has been very, very long and people are still waiting.
Mm.
Project Red, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
CD Projekt Red. And it looks great and they have like paid so much attention to the details and everything. But do you really think when you're playing the game, doesn't that distract you a little bit? I feel like whenever I'm playing a game which is extremely detailed, I feel like it takes away, it makes it way too real. I want to be in a fantasy world, I want to be gaming, and it just takes kind of away from that. I feel that's going to happen with this.
Maybe, but I can't really agree with you. I mean, it is a perspective. I can't like say that there is no right or wrong in this one. It's just because times are changing, your graphics, your technology is getting better by the day, and the games... Movies have always been, the whole point of them is to sort of imitate real life. So they are trying to get it as close to real life as possible. Like, which is also one of the reasons why you have virtual reality games, so that you are literally in the game.
Do you want to give a little brief about why Cyberpunk 2077 is such a big deal and how, you know, people are crazy about it?
I think I'll let Viraj go at it.
I'll give a bit of a background. So basically... CD Projekt Red was a very small studio not so long ago. And they hit the big leagues with this game called The Witcher 3, yes. And the game which I've recently started playing is, again, going back to your point about the whole graphics scenario, The Witcher 3 graphics are incredible to look at. And that increases the immersion
experience. Yes.
And the gameplay, and I mean, it just broke what a studio can do without tons of budgeting. I mean,
investment. Like.
So while Bethesda was doing terrible stuff like 76, CD Projekt Red out of nowhere, I think it's a Polish studio, which out of nowhere made this incredible game. And
the funny thing is, their first little tease about Cyberpunk 2077 was released way before they even entered the Witcher series world. It was released, people saw it. It was 2013, I think. They released the trailer. Teaser, not even a trailer. They released it and people have been excited ever since. And then they went on to do the whole Witcher series.
Yeah, but what has made people absolutely crazy about 2077 is, one, the visuals that were released of the... the visuals look incredible. The whole steampunk theme that has been going on.
It's cyberpunk.
Yeah, sorry. The cyberpunk theme that's been going on. Hmm.
And Keanu Reeves.
Exactly. That, I mean,
yeah, go for it. Like, oh my god, like people exploded with like beams and everything on the internet. And even if you're not a gamer, if you see Keanu Reeves looking so hot in those virtual world, you would want to go check it out, I guess.
And Keanu Reeves has become a god on the internet, no doubt, because
in the last 3 days.
Yes. Before, because with the release of John Wick and the sequels,
he has been a god since Matrix, let's face
yes,
it.
Yes, true. And plus, his personal story, I mean, he is one of the most humble stars out there, and his personal story is kind of tragic.
All right, so that's it for today's episode of Pop Sanskriti. Join us next episode, so we will update you on some more cool things.